This is your regional newscast for Thursday, August 5th. I'm Kate Redmond. The Colorado Independent Congressional Redistricting Commission has pushed back their deadline for final redistricting maps to October 1st. The Colorado Sun reports final population data from the U.S. Census Bureau used to draw the maps will be more than 4 months late. The panel will also use that extra time to hold additional public hearings. In a briefing to the Supreme Court, the Colorado Secretary of State's office warned that failing to adopt final maps by the end of the year would require that the June 2022 primary be pushed back. The San Miguel Power Association's plans to close U.S. Highway 550 over Red Mountain Pass starting next week will be delayed again because the Colorado Department of Transportation will not grant the Rural Electric Cooperative the permit it needs. SMPA had announced it planned to clear timber around the power line that runs between Ouray and the Burrow Bridge substation atop Red Mountain Pass, necessitating multi-hour closures. The Ouray County Plain Dealer reports several officials from the city of Ouray, the town of Silverton, and San Juan County objected to those closures at a board meeting on July 27th, saying they would disrupt tourist traffic during one of the busiest times of the year. SMPA's schedule called for full highway closures for several hours a day for 9 days in August and 8 days in September. The Aspen Jewish Congregation has filed suit against the Aspen Interfaith Chapel last week in Pitkin County Court. The two entities entered into a 100-year agreement in 1989 for the Jewish congregation to have a permanent space for services, events, and offices, and two representative seats on the board. The AJC paid 33% of the building's maintenance and operating costs. The Aspen Daily News reports the AJC provided a one-time $100,000 contribution to support the chapel building in 1989. They also raised funds in 1995 for renovations and repairs, and they shared the expenses of a new boiler in 2018. Things came to an impasse over needed repairs to the roof last year. AJC did not kick in funds for that, and the Interfaith Chapel has raised their rent to help defray the costs. No monetary damages are being pursued in the suit, just a ruling on the validity of the original agreement. An estimated 4,000 homes and businesses in the downtown area of Montrose lost power for about 45 minutes yesterday. The Montrose Press reports that the outage was caused by a blown surge arrestor at the Bullock substation. The purpose of the surge arrestor is to prevent damage to larger equipment vital to the power grid. All of the traffic lights in town were out of commission. Law enforcement officers were deployed to direct traffic. The Hinsdale County Museum will have its annual pub crawl fundraiser this Friday, August 6th, from 3 to 6 p.m. Entry fee includes a souvenir mug and drinks at three Lake City pubs. There will be guest speakers reviewing Lake City history with a Q&A session to follow at each location. Proceeds will benefit the museum's ongoing renovation of a narrow-gauge railroad car. The U.S. Forest Service has proposed an overnight camping fee for certain areas in the Maroon Bells Snowmass Wilderness. KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh has this report.
In 2006, we had a little more than 4,000 people that came into the Maroon Bells Snowmass Wilderness area overnight at the 10 most popular trailheads. Last year, it was 18,000.
That's David Boyd, public affairs officer with the White River National Forest.
And that's not just a blip from 2020. That's definitely been the trend. 2019 was about 15,000, and then 2018 was also 18,000.
He's talking about how many people visited a few places in the Maroon Bells Snowmass Wilderness area over the past few years, where use has more than quadrupled, causing environmental damage and overcrowded campsites. We've heard this before about Conundrum Hot Springs, which prompted the Forest Service to start the permit system in 2017. That year, the Aspen Daily News reported that forest rangers and volunteers packed 70 pounds of trash out of Conundrum, not to mention the unburied human waste. Boyd says the 2017 permit system covered the most popular areas in the Maroon Bells Snowmass Wilderness area, like the Four Pass Loop, but was only put into effect at Conundrum without the fee. Boyd adds the reservation system for Conundrum has helped reduce the amount of campers crammed into the area all at once, There are fewer people on the weekends and more people during the week.
People that have been up there since we started that permit system have been very pleased just because that was just getting so crowded up there.
But the trash and the environmental damage is still a problem, not only at Conundrum, but on the four-pass loop at Geneva Lake and Capitol Lake, hence the proposed fee.
One of the things that the fee can actually help us with is providing for more rangers that can help with not only handling the problem itself, but also educating people while they're out there about, you know, how to leave no trace and how to camp around bears and all those sorts of things.
Will Roush, director of Wilderness Workshop, a public lands watchdog group based in Carbondale, understands the problem that the fee is trying to solve.
I've definitely seen a lot of the impact that this overuse has created, whether it's campsites that are sprawled out in sensitive areas right next to the hot springs, right next to the lake edge, where there's kind of conversion of natural spaces to bare ground. There's been, you know, lots of documented impacts from human waste, from firewood cutting and gathering. So the impacts are pretty clear. And then as well, just the impacts of that many people in one place, there's less tangible impacts to wildlife and their use of that area.
But he cautions that charging a fee to access public lands could lock some people out.
So we're going to be really pushing the Forest Service to think about equity as they put this fee proposal together and to think about how to ensure that low-income people, people of color, you know, people who have been left out from enjoying the benefits of wilderness and public lands are not further marginalized through a process like this.
That's a concern that we have, too, and that's one of the things people can help us with, that they have some ideas about how we can make it equitable. We'd certainly love to hear those.
David Boyd says the public comment period for the proposed fee will help the Forest Service figure out how to make it equitable. But does paying a fee to access wilderness take the public out of public lands? Again, Will Roush.
You know, for people who have plenty of financial resources, that fee is not a barrier, and they might decide, well, I got to get a reservation when I want to go next summer. And 4 months ahead, it's no problem to book, you know, three different weekends, and then, you know, I'll just pick the weekend that's most convenient for me as my summer schedule firms up. But for people who the fee is a financial barrier, you don't have that flexibility, and then all the, you know, reservations may already be taken by the time you've figured your schedule out.
Wilderness Workshop plans to look at fee systems around the country to get some ideas and urges the Forest Service to work with communities that the fee would affect the most. The public can weigh in on the proposed fee until September 15th. For KDNK News, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
And that's your regional newscast for August 4th. I'm Kate Redmond.